From the studios of WMAA-FMHD, welcome to another edition of How You're Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guest, and not of WMAA-FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. And now, here's your host, Dr. Nanette and Keith Funderburk.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. I am Dr. Nanette Funderburk, your resident psychotherapist, and as always, I have with me today...
Oh, Dr. Funderburk, you've got your boy, your main man. I am the resident husband.
That's not your name today. Is that your name?
No. My name is Keith Funderburk. But for those that don't know, you know, each show we always start off with a name.
Yeah.
That's right. So my theme name for this particular week...
Oh, your theme name is Resident Husband.
No, not Resident Husband. So hold up, Dr. Funderburk.
I'm sorry.
So my theme name for this week is going to be Cousin.
Cousin.
A.K.A. Cuz.
Cuz. Hey, cousin.
What's up? Look, everybody got a cousin. It's like, for some reason, you ever been to the family reunion and you got somebody that's called sister? Everybody, there's somebody going to be called sister. Bootsy.
Everybody does not have a Bootsy.
Okay.
Everybody got a Peaches.
Peaches, that's right. Everybody does have we do have Peaches. That's exactly right. You know, and most importantly, always Uncle Joe.
Your Uncle Joe going to get Uncle mad Joe, at you.
Uncle Joe shows up on the show every year. And so y'all, so
we gonna keep your Uncle Joe.
Look, Uncle Joe is my uncle, man. He is the one. I can go to Uncle Joe's house right now and he will take a brother out. We can go get some chicken.
Whenever he sees me.
Whenever Uncle Joe says,
hey niece.
Hey niece. Yeah, cause I don't know if Uncle Joe really knows your name. But it's all good though. We gonna, you know. It's all good, Dr. Funderburk.
So today we are talking about, if you all can't really tell, we're talking about the fam. We're talking about the family. And what does family do outside of love each other? We kind of have conflict sometimes, right?
Look, we got some conflict. We got some issues. You know, see, the family ain't like it used to be.
I mean, you know, some of them.
No. So, you know, most of us, you know, it's not just, you know, the mom and dad and the two children and maybe a cat or a dog.
Right. Yeah.
No, man.
That's the traditional nuclear family.
That's the traditional nuclear family. That's right. Mm-hmm. You're on top of some magazine cover. Man, in black and white. That's what it used to look like.
You're right. It did.
You know, but it now... Did. We are what they call it, dysfunctional family. Is that what they call it? Or no, a blended family.
Don't say dysfunctional.
No, not dysfunctional. See, but I'm talking about a blended family today.
Yes, our families oftentimes are very blended right now. And, you know, but families can have conflict whether you're blended or whether you're a traditional nuclear family or whether you're framily.
Framily? What is that?
Those friends that are like family. You know, we can have conflict, you know. So, and I think the conflict between those groups of people can be slightly different than other types of conflict.
Yeah, well, you know, exactly right. You know, because even when you really think about it, you might be a family of one, right? But then you've got your extended family members. It might be your cousins, your aunties, and uncles. You know, maybe they may be located in different areas of the city, the state, or even better yet, the country. So just we're not necessarily referring to the family as those that just live within the home.
Yes.
But the family can be really outside of the home.
Yes.
But the real deal is, y'all, look, we got issues, y'all. We got issues, and it shows up. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, if you're black or white.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
If you're educated, not educated. I mean, all these things, family conflict, it happens. And so today, Dr. Funderburk, I really thought it would be a really good idea to talk about families and how we can address it, how it shows up. Maybe you can identify some symptoms, you know, that you might, you know, from your professional experience. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about this particular item. Why is family conflict so common?
Well, I think the answer to that is really kind of simple. Family conflict is common because every family that I've ever seen mm-hmm. has humans.
Wow.
We have people, you know, and these people don't always want the same thing the same way at the same time. Or maybe it's the reverse. Sometimes they do want the same thing and everybody can't have it, whatever it is, at the same time. It could be as simple as two kids wanting the same toy at the same time and there's only one toy. You know, it could be that simple. Mm-hmm. So, you know, why is family conflict such a common experience? Just because there are people involved. But if I throw in some things that are not, you know, the purely simple answer, I would also say it's because families know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Families, those friends that are like families, they call each other family because, again, they know each other. That means we know stuff about them and they know stuff about us. They know our likes. They know our dislikes. They know our soft spots. They know the thing that just makes us very vulnerable. And we know the things that make them very vulnerable. And so sometimes when, you know, the conversation gets a little hot or gets a little heated, it can be easy for people who are close to you like that to push some of those buttons if they choose to, because they simply know where your soft spots are. They know where your vulnerabilities lie. They know the things that are kind of below the belt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I mean, because it's really true, though. I mean, because if I think about it, you know, Nana and I, we've been married for many years. And so she knows some of those weak spots. I knew some of her weak spots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anytime if I bring in a nice chocolate ice cream or something, that is chocolate ice cream with brownies. Man.
Now, you're talking about what I like?
Yes. Okay.
No, that's not it. It's not the chocolate.
Okay.
I do like the brownie in there.
Yeah, you do. That's right. She does like the brownie, and so.
But it's the what kind of ice cream?
No, it's actually like cake batter
get it
ice cream.
Okay,
or
thank
a sweet
you.
Ice cream.
Thank you.
So, if I bring that type of item into the house, and then I didn't bring her anything, and I just kept it all to myself, mm-hmm. yeah, you're gonna be looking at me like, yeah, brother, you going back to that store?
I'm gonna side eye you.
You're gonna side eye me, but you know, so when you think about family conflict, sometimes it shows up, you know, when for the extended family. Oh, yeah, it shows up on those major holidays.
And, you know, I was just thinking that. I'm glad you brought that up, because this is a topic that could kind of get us thinking to get prepped for some of those gatherings that might be coming up in the next few months as we're getting closer to the end of the year here. So when these tensions come up and then the families get together, it can be, sometimes it's a situation where it's like, you know, that's cuz.
Yeah, right,
that's
right.
That's how he is.
Mm-hmm.
Although folk act like cuz can't change, and he can.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd throw that out there. But you might have to get prepped. You might have to get prepped for this.
I mean, so think about it like this. We know every time we get together as an extended family, you know, when everybody comes, and cousin so-and-so, every time he comes, he always drink too much. And when he drink too much, he going to be hitting on everybody. You know, I'm like, look, man, that's your cousin. But why are you tripping like that? And so, but it causes a lot of conflict. You know, I remember a couple of years ago, I was at a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And at the wedding, there was a gentleman. And, man, he was kind of loose. Mm-hmm. You know, he was loose, man. I mean, that brother, he was just... he just had a lot going on. He was drinking.
Yeah.
I mean, he was hitting on folks. I think he even hit on you.
I can't remember. Did he?
No, I think he did, but you know, almost like, brother.
Oh, okay. Stay focused.
That's right. Got to go to the car. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Y'all, we don't do that anymore. Y'all don't do that. All right. I'm just joking, y'all. That's what you might have seen on TV. But seriously, you know, sometimes there's someone that's coming and they have a tendency to be that particular person. Maybe for the conflict, they always are too loud. Maybe they are always just too loud between. They might be drinking. They might be smoking. You know, sometimes, you know, like, and when we talk about smoking, I ain't just talking about just regular cigarettes. Sometimes it might be, you know, smoking, you know, like a joint or some weed. So the deal gets to be then, Dr. Furnerbeck, how do you, how do we deal with these unresolved family tensions? Because, you know, it can impact our mental health. Because if I haven't resolved it, if I haven't talked about it, and it's happened year after year after year, you know, we got to deal with it. But before we do that, Dr. Funderburk, I want to let everybody know, you're listening to How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. We got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburk, a.k.a. Cuz. Today, y'all, we're talking about family conflict. So how are we going to deal with these unresolved family tensions, though?
You know, first of all, I think we have to acknowledge that they exist, because there are a lot of times that we are trying to connect during these family times of year, you know, family gathering times of year, and we're trying to act as though there is not anything going on.
Right.
When you're trying to act as though there's nothing going on, and you're sweeping it under, you're sweeping things under the rug, so to speak, after a while, that rug starts to develop a really big lump underneath. Mm-hmm. And so now there's a lump in the rug that everybody's tripping over as they walk by. But they're trying to act like nothing's there. They're tripping. Right, right. Everything's dropping off their plate. And they fall onto the couch. They fall on to grandma, who's just sitting on the couch trying to watch her show. And it's like, oh, yeah, nothing. We good.
Mm-hmm.
So when those unresolved family tensions are there and we act like they're not there, so that's the first thing, acknowledging that they're there. The second thing is when we don't acknowledge that they're there, it can absolutely impact our mental health, because there is somebody who is usually on the outside, who is usually in what we would call the out group. They're the one that everybody's looking at, or they're the couple of a couple or three people or however many, you know, that people are looking at and saying, oh, you know, well, that's them. That's
right.
That's how, you know, girl, you know how she is. And they may have done something, or they may not have done something. They may simply be the one who has gotten out. And when I say gotten out, that can mean a whole lot of different things. It could mean they got out of the frustrating situation that the family had going on, got out of the abusive house, got out of that small town, and now they're the ones who have made something of themselves. It's not that the others aren't doing well either. It's just that they're different.
Wow.
So when those differences come up and somebody gets pushed to the outskirts, they get pushed to the out group, depending on how far they get pushed out and depending on how long they are left out there in the out group, they can kind of develop their own callus, let's say. You know, when you have that shoe that fits too tight and you get a callus or a corn on your foot, that callus is there to protect the soft spot on your foot, right?
Right, right.
So those folks that get pushed out of the family stuff sometimes, they might become a little calloused in other areas of their lives. They might be that person who shows up at work and they're not very friendly. They might be that person who won't develop close relationships or close, like a close romantic relationship, because it's like, well, if the people I came from are going to treat me like this, I don't know if I can trust somebody else.
Right.
So they might not get along with folks in the family and not get along with people on the outside. Now, that's not everyone. Some people will find it much easier to connect with folks who are outside of the family because they don't, quote unquote, know whatever it is about them. And the it might be nothing, really. Sometimes it can even be as, again, I'm going to go back to the word simple. It can go back to something as simple as the parentage. You know,
the parentage.
Yes. So when I say the parentage, meaning like these siblings have this parent and the other one sibling or two siblings have another parent. And nobody likes that parent, or maybe the opposite parent doesn't like the person that they initially had a child with, and who gets the brunt of that? The child.
Wow.
So it can happen in so many ways, and the mental health impacts can be damaging, could be, if not addressed, lifelong. You can address this stuff and you can work through it, and you'd be surprised at how people do work through it and kind of become a different person who is doing well. But, you know, we can't act like some of this family stuff that goes on is just, you know, how so-and-so is.
Right. But you know what the real deal is? A lot of times, and when I was growing up, and I don't know if you experienced this, Dr. Funderburg, but, you know, the old folks, who are the old folks? I don't know. But the old folks will say what goes on in this house stays in this house. And then sometimes that might be, you know, some really deep trauma.
It can be.
You know, because sometimes, like, molestation can have happened over the years, and it impacted, you know, the mama and great-grandma and all those. And so we never, you know, grandma never talked to her daughter about how to deal with that. And so really,
because grandma didn't deal with it.
Yeah, because grandma didn't deal with it. And so that family conflict could be, you know, the quote uncles. And again, I'm using that term loosely, because sometimes when that shows up in the home and people, they have these experiences, instead of dealing with the trauma, we just, you know, push it under the rug, or we just say, oh, it's okay, baby. You know, that happened to me. You know, you're going to be all right. But the real deal is, no, we need to really address it.
Yeah, we definitely do need to address that, because that can become a larger source of conflict. And I do just want to add in there, it's not always just the quote unquote uncles are abusive. The aunties can be abusive too, in all of the same ways that the uncles can be abusive. And again, we're using those terms, aunties and uncles, very loosely there. We're not just talking about them.
Well, you know, let me ask this question, though. I'm changing the subject just slightly. When you start talking about family conflict, another area that this shows up a lot is because we are in a sandwich generation right now.
Many people are, right?
Yeah, many. I mean, there are a lot of people, because, you know, the baby boomers, they're retiring. They may have, you know, they might be in the hospital, you know, or in a nursing home, or even they might be, you know, in a facility where they might be dying. But this is the family conflict. Sometimes in some families where the conflict is one sibling feels that they're carrying the brunt of the weight of taking care of mama or daddy.
Yeah, yeah. And when you mentioned sandwich generation, you have an open face sandwich there, which you just said. So we got to put the other piece of the bread on there. And that is, they're taking care of the older generation, but they're also taking care of the younger generation. So there is another generation that is right there in between.
And that's what you call the sandwich generation. So I'm taking care of my kids, but I'm also taking care of maybe my mom, my dad, or even like a grandparent
parents
or an
or
auntie.
Grandparents, right. Or just somebody who cannot continue to take care of themselves for whatever reason. And so, but that last thing you just said was, what was it?
Well, I'm not quite sure, Dr. Funderburg. But, you know, what I can say, though, is 45% of caregivers, you know, they experience some really significant conflict with siblings and other folks in the home.
Oh, that's what you just said.
Yeah.
You were talking about sometimes the conflict comes because the caregiver is looking at the sibling, their peer, that their partner in the generation, who is not stepping up. Or sometimes the peer could be a cousin. Sometimes the peer can be different people at different stages, but they're looking at this other person. A lot of times it is the sibling, though. They're looking at this other person like, aren't you going to help me?
I mean, yeah, because they're like, look, come on now. Y'all know what it's like. Mm-hmm. You know, when you talk about caregiving for a loved one, especially an adult loved one, caregiving is physically and mentally exhausting.
Exhausting.
You know, I can remember, of course, Nanette and I, we both were caring for our parents. You know, for yes. Nanette, we were caring for Nanette's dad, and we were caring for my mom, and they were both kind of having medical issues at the same time.
Yes.
And so that was extremely challenging and difficult on the family. I mean, not just on us, but on the extended family. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, though, Dr. Funderburk, if we don't really talk about it, though, mm-hmm. if we don't express, look, y'all, I'm beginning to have some issues. You know, I can't sleep at night now. Mm-hmm. I can't take care of mama. You know, I can't do what I used to do. It might be I can't afford the medicine that I used to provide, or mm-hmm. I can't take mama or daddy to, you know, to their appointments, you know, maybe because maybe I can't afford it anymore. Maybe I lost my job, or maybe I don't have the gas money like I used to have.
Or maybe I'm just tired.
I'm just tired. Because you know what? And again, there's nothing wrong. Again, you love mom, you love dad, you love granny and all them. But at the end of the day, caregiving is tiring, y'all.
You know. Yeah, that's why our friends over there at Caregiver Connect, they are a great source.
Caregiver Connect, and again, this is with Alexis. You know, she does, and if you look them up, Caregiver Connect, and hopefully we're going to try to have her on the show sometime soon.
Yeah, we do need to do that.
Yeah, because she's going to talk to us about, especially when it comes to dealing with dementia, mm-hmm. when it comes, you know, and we've been seeing some of that even in the news recently mm-hmm. where people were getting lost and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Again, thank you for joining us, y'all. We're right here. We're listening to How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. We're here at WNAA 90.1 FM. And today, y'all, we're talking about family conflict and how this shows up when it comes to, you know, how it impacts us. Dr. Funderburk, another segment, though, deals with children.
Okay.
You know, when children, I know a couple of years ago, we talked about this concept dealing with adverse childhood experiences mm-hmm. or something called ACEs. Mm-hmm. So then when you look at it in ACEs, it said that if the child was exposed to chronic unhealthy exposure to, let's say, the misuse of drugs, maybe they saw someone using a drug, it might be someone being experiencing depression or anxiety, mm-hmm. maybe there was a parent not in the home. Mm-hmm. And so this is an internal conflict on that child. Dr. Funderburk, I know you did a little bit of research. Are there some other things when you talk about adverse childhood experiences or ACEs, mm-hmm. it has an impact on a young person's, you know, their livelihood. It can even impact long term, you know, their mortality.
Absolutely. It can. Because the ACE study talked all about toxic stress that occurs during childhood, and how that toxic stress, when combined with developing body, a developing brain, developing organs, and the stress hormones that come out and go back in, and then come out and go back in, and come out and go back in, and they come out and go back in so many times that eventually they're like, you know what, we're just gonna stay out. So that child is living with their stress hormones. Think about when you've had a moment of nervousness, imagine living like that. For the child whose stress hormones now stay out all the time, they're living like what you felt like in that moment of nervousness. So having it out for a moment, that's okay. That's what it's supposed to do. But when it comes out and stays out, it can impact everything. It can impact how your organs develop, how your brain develops, which will impact the grades that you make in school, which can then impact how you graduate or not graduate, or how you are educated. So if you go on to college or not, or if you go on to learn a particular trade or not. And then if you either can't get the education or can't learn a specific trade so that you can provide a living for yourself, then that puts you in a lower economic bracket. So now you're making less money because of the stress that you had when you were a child.
So let me ask you this question, Dr. Funderburk. We got about 3 more minutes on the show. Give us some insight from a parent's perspective supporting their child. In other words, the child, and it might be someone that just recently, you know, they just showed up at the house. Maybe they just came from another relationship or another family, or even your own children. we're trying not to expose them to some really experiences like domestic violence. It might be abusive, you know, of drugs and all that. How do we protect the children from seeing, you know, let's just say domestic violence? You know, how do we make sure that we're not exposing our child to that?
Well, the best way is to not be in unhealthy relationships. And there are sometimes, not every time, but there are sometimes an individual recognizes, this is not a good relationship for me. Let me go ahead and get out early. So if you start recognizing those signs early in a relationship, and people might even be saying to you, girl, I don't know if that's the one, or same thing for you guys as well. If you can get out early, go ahead and get out. That's the best way for your children not to be exposed to that. If you're already in that relationship, that's where you want to connect with folks like the family.
The Justice Center?
Yes, the Family Justice Center. They are right here in, well, I think there's a Greensboro location and there's a High Point location. Yeah. So I don't have a phone number right now for you, but you can look up the Family Justice Center, and they can help. They're a one-stop shop. They can help you in getting out of that situation. That's what they do for a living. That's why the center exists. There are a lot of ways that conflict can impact a family. We didn't even touch the surface, basically. But the part, I think the point that I would want to leave with you with that is that conflict does exist, and we can't act like it does not exist. So if the conflict is taking place for you, if you're recognizing that it's impacting you, then this is where you go ahead and reach out to somebody who can help you, because you're the only one that you can control. So you can't make so-and-so act differently if they're determined to act the way that they're acting, but you can impact how you're going to respond to how they act.
Wow.
And that's the thing that we want to do, whether it's something like, you know, something as simple as just young siblings growing up, you know, the kids' siblings growing up, or whether it's the older siblings, whether it's between in-laws. You know, you might have to reach out to someone else to say, hey, this is what's been going on, and I don't know how to deal with this. I need some assistance with this.
Okay, so Dr. Funderburg, again, really good resource. One more resource is always available, again, and this is available nationwide. If you're in a situation and you're just feeling like, man, I'm just stressed, I just got a lot going on, and you want to talk to someone, on your cell phone, dial 988.
Especially if you are feeling like, this conflict is just too much, I don't even want to be here anymore, because we don't need another suicide.
That's right.
We don't need another suicide. So 988 is free, and it's available to everybody. It's the equivalent of 911, but it's the mental health 911.
Right. And so again, that's going to be where you can talk to someone. They can hook you up with local resources that's available in your community.
So that number again is 988.
Dr. Funderburg, we got to get up out of here.
Oh my goodness, it went so fast.
Already,
it really did.
Yeah, it did.
As with other shows, you all, if you have other comments or questions, please make sure that you're messaging us. And as always, join us next time on How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburgs. Take care, y'all.
That wraps up another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburgs. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guests, and not of WNAA FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. As always, WNAA FM invites your feedback, so give us a call during normal business hours at 336-334-7936. This program was produced in the studios of 90.1 FM WNAA and is the sole property of WNAA FMHD and North Carolina A&T State University. No portion of this program may be aired, played, or reproduced without written permission from WNAA FMHD. Join us again next week for another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburgs on 90.1 FM WNAA.